We're going to continue in our study in the book of Romans, and hopefully finish chapter 7. Hopefully we'll finish chapter 7 this week, and if we don't, we don't. But let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Father and Lord, we thank you and we give you praise and honor that you're due, because you are worthy. And so, Father and Lord, as we open up your word, we just pray your blessing on this time. I thank you for the safe travel that each of us have had this morning, and we pray for those who are still traveling. Father, may this word just come to life in us. May the Spirit that indwells us utilize this word in such a way to make changes in our lives, and to really understand the grace of God and the grace that comes through Christ Jesus. And so, Father, again, we just give you thanks for this study, this time that we have, and for the body of Christ. Amen. Okay. Romans chapter 7, we left off in verse 20 and 21 as we continue to have Paul instruct us in the ways of how the law and the believer are supposed to interact. Paul has been describing his struggle as a saved man and dealing with that old man and dealing with the law. Because as we talked about, is that when we're saved, when we're, you know, put our faith and trust in Christ, and we're a believer and we're saved and we have that assurance of salvation, we still have that old man we have to deal with. That old man, as a believer, really, we love, hopefully anyway, as we'll talk about here shortly, is that inward man that's in us. We want to do good. We want to do what's right. But there's also that part of us that wars against that. That is that flesh that fights against it. And so Paul here talks about that struggle that a believer has both with the old man, but also with the law. Because putting yourself under the law may seem good at first. Hey, I'm a believer. Boy, now I can follow the law. Well, guess what? You won't. You will fail. And so Paul talks about how this all works, is what he's talking about. He says that the law is spiritual. That's great, isn't it? But then he goes on to say, but we are carnal. He says, but I'm carnal. And guess what? If the Apostle Paul was carnal, you could pretty much be assured, so am I, and so are you. And that's something that he had to deal with. And so to put yourself under the law, because even though the law is good, even though the law is holy, righteous, and all of that, the law condemns. And so as a believer, when you put yourself under the law, it's not a good thing. There's other ways to understand the goodness of the law and to express goodness and service to God without putting yourself under the law, without making a list and checking it twice and making sure that you weren't naughty but nice. There's a way to do this. And Paul talks about, because when you put yourself under the law, there's that inner man that's going to say, wait a minute. Remember we talked about before, when you tell, our grandkids were just here. And I can assure you, as soon as you tell them don't do something, you know, they're going to want to do it. That's just who we are. And it's not just little ones that are like that. It's us big ones too. And so because we're carnal, the law condemns. And so we shouldn't put ourselves to the law. Rather, there's something else that we should do. We should walk in grace. Understanding the grace of God. That is what we walk in. That's what should drive us and motivate us, not because of the Ten Commandments that are on a plaque in the courtroom, but because of who we are in Christ Jesus, because of that gift that was given to us by faith. We should walk in grace. But, and this is really just review and kind of summary of what we're going to talk about, but the instinct of most new Christians, this is the instinct of most new Christians, is for them to And it's often also the result of bad teaching. So a new believer gets saved, and their instinct is to make these set of rules, these resolutions, and sometimes it's because of bad teaching. There are churches out there that will teach, and teachers out there who will teach, that you need to make a law unto yourself, that you need to make a list of the do's and don'ts. Well, that list, when you fail, what's that going to do to you? It's going to condemn you. Your conscience, which you have, you can sear your conscience, but here we're talking about the believer. We're talking about somebody who wants to do right. Hopefully that's us. We want to do right. That person that wants to do right, when you fail, guess what happens? What usually gets in the way of somebody's prayer life? What usually gets in the way of somebody being involved? It's usually because they've failed and they've sinned and they want to hide from God. This is what the law will produce when you walk in the flesh. When you walk in the newness of life, when you understand who you are in Christ Jesus, when you understand these things, then you walk in that. It can produce something that even the law can't. And it's not because the law is bad. It's because the law is weak because of your flesh. That's where the law is weak. And so a lot of Christians, oftentimes, they want to make the lists of these resolutions. I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that. The problem is when you fail, your conscience will condemn you. And that, Paul is later going to even talk about this in Romans 8. But that will have an effect, and that will cause you to sink further and further and further down the line. There is a way to have victory over this stuff. And so Paul is going to talk later in chapter 8 about what's called the condemnation of the flesh. Well, that condemnation of the flesh it's in Romans 8, but that condemnation of the flesh isn't that God has condemned you because you walked in the flesh. It's because you've condemned yourself from walking in the flesh. Just like I said, whenever you don't do something right as a Christian who wants to do something right, and you realize, why did I do that? You begin to beat yourself up instead of not realizing who you are in Christ Jesus. And so these are the types of things that he's talking about. But before Paul gets into the, I don't want to say complicated, but a little bit maybe the next level of theology, before he gets into that, he makes sure to point out the difference between your standing and your state. And I know I keep driving this home to you. And if you're tired of hearing about it, I'm sorry. I'm going to keep doing it. The fact of the matter is, before Paul gets to this next level, he makes sure to make sure to tell you that there is this difference. He says before God, basically, that you are not condemned. And you need to know this. You need to know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, nothing can separate you from the love of God. And then he goes and he lists a bunch of things, right? Which is even yourself. You can't separate yourself from the love of God. Woo-hoo. Yeah, that is a woo-hoo. Because guess what? I can go out there and I can do a sin and I can do something that I shouldn't do, but guess what? I should never feel like I can't come back to Daddy. I should never feel like I can't come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation. Now, there's condemnation in your flesh because of you. You'll condemn yourself, but he won't. He won't condemn you. And this is what Paul means here in Romans 7, verse 17. Look at Romans 7, 17. He says, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And we talked about that last week. He's saying, it's not me that does it, it's but sin. What is he talking about here? Because he says, I'm dead to the law. I'm dead to sin. I'm a new person in Christ. Go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. That's right. This new person that you are being identified, the same reason why nothing can separate you from the love of Christ once you're in Christ, is the same reason why it's no longer you that do it. Because guess what? You have died. Which is what Paul has already spent Romans chapter 5 and 6 telling us all about. Again, Paul, God, his word, is building upon the theology. This is why some parts of Romans can seem difficult to understand, because we're not talking milk here anymore, people. God is telling us, okay, my grown son, it's time for you to understand these things. You need to know these things. So look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so before Paul gets into the idea of how this all is going to work, he makes sure to remind us here in Romans 7:17, back to our identity, that difference between your standing and your state, that it's no longer I that do it, meaning the law cannot condemn me. When I go before the Lord Jesus, when I see him face to face, he's not going to bring up the law. Nobody can bring up the law towards my account, right? Because it's not me. I'm dead. I'm in Christ, is what he says. So understand that that's what Paul has been teaching before he now gets into some of this other stuff as it relates to the law and how the believer is going to interact or really shouldn't be interacting with the law. Things like this inward man, things about this. He talks about two different laws. He talks about the law, which would be the Mosaic law, and then he's going to talk about the law in his members, and that's not the Mosaic law. That's a law, like I told you before, January 1st, you make this whole list of resolutions, and you create, I'm not going to eat that anymore. That lasts until February. Yeah.
Great. I'm
going to put this away. Now, I'm not saying that, hey, we shouldn't try to, you know, do good things. That's not my point. My point is what happens whenever you make that list as a Christian. I put my faith and trust in Christ. Now I'm going to write these set of rules, and I'm going to walk in my flesh. Now, when I put it that way, it kind of makes sense that doesn't make sense. But that's what most of us do. Well, I'm going to make this list, and I'll check it twice. And as long as I'm looking at that, guess where I'm not looking at? Christ. And see, before Paul gets into this really simple, basic, but yet upper level of theology, he makes sure you understand you know who you are in Christ. So let's read verses 21 through 25 and see if we can't break these verses down this morning. So Romans 7, verse 21. I find then a law. Well, let's read verse 20, just get that. So now, if I do that I would not, in other words, if I want to do something and I don't do it, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members. See how he references another law. And it's in his members. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We'll wait and read verse 25 shortly. That's a good question that Paul says, because Paul's describing a predicament that he's in, that each of us are in. If I want to do good, and yet because of that inward, or not that inward, so much the inward, but because of that old man, because of the flesh, if I want to do good as a believer, I know right, I know wrong, and I want to do good, but yet I keep finding myself doing what I don't want to do. You begin to wonder, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this? Now, we all know the answer from that. Pretty obvious what the answer is. Plus, you probably already read 25, Jesus Christ. But how does this work is really what he's getting to here. And so here we're going to see that Paul talks about, I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Paul here is not referring to a Mosaic law, but he's talking about a law that he, which I referenced before, about making your own law, the self-imposed law that you're going to apply to yourself as a new believer, as a Christian. One of the biggest problems that I have with John MacArthur and lordship salvation. It teaches this idea that there's a level of my action that's going to determine my identification. Now, hopefully, but not always, hopefully, your actions will merge with your identification. But the idea that that's always going to be the case, that's not what Scripture tells us. Now, you can be saved and live carnally. Was you going to say something?
No.
And so the idea that you can judge your salvation by your fruit is not the way to go. So I'm just saying that. But here we see that this idea, Paul's referring not to the Mosaic law, but this law in his members, this verse 22 and 23, he says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." That's talking about a believer. The believer who delights in the truth of God in the inward man. So I've got that inward man who delights in thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do this. Go ahead.
So Jews were judged by their fruit now?
Yeah. Kind of, you know me, I can't get a short answer to this. But yes, keep in mind, even the tribulation itself, Israel's having to make a recompense or have to pay the penalty of some of the sins that they've done. And throughout the tribulation period, these are the reason why Jesus taught the things that he taught, is that your fruits are going to be directly related to you following Jesus Christ, because that's one of the reasons why they had the law as part of it. Is the law was essential to them doing it. Now, it was still by faith, but yes, their walk, their fruit, if you read what Christ wrote, their fruit, what did he do whenever he walked up to the fig tree and it didn't bear fruit? What did he do with it? He cursed it. Now, if you pay attention to the chain of events, he goes by that fig tree a short time later, and guess what? It was withered and died. And so he warned Israel that their fruit, and which is why you see in the book of Revelation the things that you do see. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yet in the new covenant, he puts a new part of them that allows them to follow the statutes and do the things.
Well, that's the whole reason for the new covenant. Yeah, because, I mean, keep in mind, even with the law with Israel, they weren't going to keep it perfectly, which is why they had the sacrificial system. That was what it was there and far, but instead of understanding its proper role. And so, yes, the new covenant, you go to Ezekiel, the new covenant is God writing the law in their hearts, because, again, the law is weak through our flesh. It was weak through Israel's flesh. They weren't going to fulfill the law perfectly, which is why they had the sacrificial system. But you don't have the sacrificial system today. Why? Because there's been one sacrifice. That's done and over with. That's over with. So God will have to write his law into their hearts so they can do that. And so here we see in verse, back to Romans 7, we see in 22 and 23, he's talking about a different law than the law of Moses. So he says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." And so, again, the usual response of Christians is to try to say, "I won't do this anymore." It's self-reliance. It's these resolutions. It's trying to rely on that inner man. You know, I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. And again, we have to have a new mindset as Christians. We need to understand that if we're going to try and do it ourselves, if we're going to try and do it, I'm going to fulfill these rules, you will fail. That is the story from Adam on. All of us will fail. Now, that doesn't mean that you were left without an opportunity to succeed. So that's what Paul is going to talk about here. So the usual result is to succeed for a short period of time. So the believer, what does the believer need to do? The believer needs not rely on some list or some laws, whether it's the law of God, meaning the Mosaic law, or in your own personal laws, your own resolutions. You need to be strengthened from the inner man. Now, strengthened from the inner man with what? Laws? Let me give you a hint. No. It's the Spirit. Go to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3:16. Well, let's start in verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the law of Moses. Is that what it says? No, by his Spirit in the inner man. How is your inner man strengthened? It's not from the law, whether it's the law of Moses or your own laws. It's not through a set of do's and don'ts. It's through the Spirit. The Spirit is what's going to strengthen the inner man, and that's going to be renewed. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That's going to be renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Second Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. There's that renewing of that inner man. And again, that's not going to come because you've read your list of do's and don'ts. That's going to be because you've submitted not to a law, but you've submitted to the Spirit that dwells within you. This is renewing your mind. This is making sure that I've talked before about that tug of war that's going on in that trichotomy that you are, that body, flesh, that soul, and that spirit, how your spirit was made alive through Christ Jesus. Not only do you have God's Spirit in you, but he made your spirit alive. And you can either have your soul follow the flesh, or you can have your soul follow the Spirit. And so that is going to be renewed. Tom, did you have your hand up?
The Spirit uses the Word of God, right?
Yes.
So with our inner man, we need to build up the inner man by studying the Word of God and dwelling it within our inner man, so that so when we talk about the Spirit, led by the Spirit, he leads us by that the Word. And if we don't have the Word in us, not a whole lot of leading
people
do with, right?
That's right. Yeah, because the Word of God, I mean, people talk about the idea of, you know, being led and all of this stuff. You know, God's going to lead you through knowledge of his Word. That's how he's going to lead you. He's not going to like give you a fuzzy feeling about somebody that you see walking down the street. You know, that's the way some people, they get all mystical about how things work. There's a reason why God wrote a book. So that you could have knowledge of his will, of the things that he wants from us. That's why he wrote us a book. So yeah, our spirit is going to be renewed from the inner man on a daily basis. And this is going to take place through a number of different ways. Through prayer, through fellowship, through study. All of these things are vital parts of how your inner man, how your spirit is going to be renewed. But guess what? If you want to turn off the faucet to God, you're not going to have much renewing going on. You still got the grace, but you're not going to have much of that. Kevin?
You know, I believe somewhere, I know in Hebrews it says, but like, we're not even supposed to have time. You know, as we're living our life, well, they sacrifice once a year, but they would still eat with God.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer I've been in the Lord, knowing the Word and being the truth and who I am, you know, it's like, I don't even have that consciousness. You know, consciousness is like, you're conscious of something. And if you're conscious of sin, boy, you're conscious of the flesh. You know, so, you know, I tell people, I don't know, I don't sin no more. like, oh, my God, that really attracts them. People want to tell people, no, I don't get the point. They'll just tell this, they're like, wait a minute, what are you? You know, but it says a man that has a seed in a pen. When I, you know, it's like it says here, that's just the body, that's not me doing anything. You look at the this body of death, we're all parts of the body of Christ now. There's many members in that body, this is who we really are. But then it talks about my other members, and I see it working in these members in our body. And he called, instead of the body of Christ, which we are, he calls it this body of death. You know, we don't want to be in that body. You know, we're already in this, we've been translated into the new body of Christ. And the boy thinks, just that's what you think, but that's the way, that's what I thought. That's, you know, next thing you know, this makes it just better and better on you. You know, but if you got the consciousness of sin, that's what it is.
Well, and there's a couple of things. I mean, keep in mind there's a difference between you being accountable, meaning that you're going to have a judgment day on your because of your sin. There's a difference between that penalty, that you're never going to have to pay the penalty of sin. That penalty's been paid. But that doesn't mean that... I'll put it this way. Whether you're a believer or not, if you go out and do some heinous, sinful act, you committed a heinous, sinful act. Now, you're not going to pay the penalty to God for that because Christ Jesus took that punishment for you. But it's not like, hey, if I go out and murder somebody, it's okay for me to do it because I'm in Christ Jesus. So you can commit a sin. You can do that. But Christ paid that which is what Paul talked about here early in Romans. He said, shall we continue in sin? No, he says, God forbid. We shall not continue to do that. Could you commit a sinful act? Yes, you could. Will you be held accountable for it? No, you won't. Christ Jesus. But why would you want to do it? So, yeah.
I, as a believer, my prayer is constantly that my God continues to give me the strength and courage to live a life pleasing to Him and my Savior. I think that's the believer's response to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
The joy and the freedom that we have, does that mean we're sinless? Absolutely not.
Right. Yeah, our goal, and you summarized that very well, our goal is to present our bodies a living sacrifice to Christ, which is our reasonable service, which that's the heart of it. You don't not do bad things because there's a law. The reason you don't do bad things is because of you're in Christ Jesus. Well, how did you get to Christ Jesus? Somebody paid that penalty. For you and me. Somebody took the stripes. Somebody died the death. So, did you ever hear that?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I kind of simplify it in my mind to their fleshly sins and fleshly consequences.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, which we will be talking, it's funny you mentioned it, we'll be talking about that in Romans 8 quite a bit. Matter of fact, next week, if we get to Romans 8, verse 1, we'll probably only be on just that one verse because it has related to that, do with that. So that's very true. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56. 1 Corinthians 15, 56. The reason why your inner man has to be renewed day by day. And the reason why you need to walk in the Spirit, the reason why you need to follow the path of grace and not law is because of the fact that the law has power. It has power to accomplish something. Look here. 1 Corinthians 15, 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. I want you to understand that beyond even just the Mosaic Law, which obviously the context there is the Mosaic Law. But again, understanding whenever you as the believer, which is the context here in Romans 7, when you as the believer say, okay, I'm waking up today, how am I going to live my life today in a way that's pleasing to God? Am I going to open up the law? Am I going to make a set of resolutions? Or am I going to follow the Spirit and understand who I am in Christ Jesus? Well, let me give you another hint. Number three, that's how you do it. Is how you're going to do it. Doesn't make the law bad, but it's because of your flesh, because of you and me, we won't fulfill that law. And what happens whenever we fail? Back to what we were talking about before. It will condemn you in your mind. So you will fall, you will break away. And you don't want to do that. So don't even try to do that. Know what's good, know what's right, and all those kind of things. But concentrate on following Christ, not on following the law. And so, back here to Romans 7, Paul references this law in his members. And this in his members, he's obviously, it's pretty easy to tell, he's talking about in his flesh. When you fight in your flesh, here's what's pretty much guaranteed? Failure. No ifs, ands, or buts. When you fight in the flesh, I don't care if you're Rocky Balboa and you made the movie Rocky. If you're fighting in the flesh, in this sense, you are going to fail. Find me one man, human, other than Christ Jesus, who didn't. That means you too. Matter of fact, in 1 Timothy, well, I won't even tell you, 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, we've been recently doing our 1 Timothy study, he says, fight the good fight, right, of faith, is what Paul says. Fight the good fight of faith, is what he says. So, it's not a fight of us following these laws. Matter of fact, turn me to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 is the great passage on the armor of God. Now, have you ever stopped to think about the things that are in the armor of God? Are any of them fleshly about you? No. Now, I want you to look at verse 10 and how what it says here. Verse 10, Ephesians 6:10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So whose power are you resting in? God's, not your. When you walk in the flesh, when you try to fulfill the law, God's law or your own law, you're not resting in his power. You're resting in yours. You've just went to the way of the flesh. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I don't know about you, but I have found that the devil to be a wily one. Now, I can blame him all I want, but the fact of the matter is my flesh wants to follow his leading. That you may be able to stand against, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore? So, knowing all of that, take on the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Now here, look what he says, what it is. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, that means you don't want to stand with lies or things that aren't true, because that means it's going to lead you in areas that aren't going to be for your benefit. Hence the reason why doctrine matters at churches. Okay? Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, Paul makes it very clear. Does righteousness come by the law? No. Righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ. So how are you going to put on righteousness? Put on Christ. Your faith in Christ Jesus. That's how you're going to do it.
Excuse me?
Yes.
Okay. That's always puzzled me. It's not faith in Jesus Christ. It's the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's both. Yes. Galatians 2:16. Yes. So Galatians 2:16 and other places, it's you know, we've made that point. So in Galatians 2:16, it's faith increase in Jesus, whereby we have we're saved by the faith of Jesus. So you've got to have the faith in Jesus for the faith of Jesus to come in effect.
You have faith in his faith.
We have to have faith in the death, burial, and resurrection.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
Yeah. But yes, our faith in him means nothing without the faith of Christ, which is Galatians 2:16. So.
Yeah, because I've never seen Jesus. You know, all I got is this book. Somebody wrote a book. You know, I got faith. You know, it's Christ's faith come by hearing. Well, Jesus said, I'm only doing what I heard my Father tell me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Well, Jesus is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's how I look at it. He heard him, and he did it. When we receive Christ inside us, that's our faith we have, because he's in us with his faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, I believe, but I couldn't believe unless, you know, that happened to me that day, you know. Just to read this in a book, so I have a little kind of, you know, it's good everybody believes, praise God, you know, but I feel there is this touching, this healing, you know, we're capable of healing. Well, I'm enough that does sometimes, you know, hallelujah. I love it, you know.
Well, feelings can be good, but the problem with feelings is that feelings can be bad.
Well, you got right to divide it.
Yeah, rightly divide between my feelings and the Word of God. Yeah. So that's the main thing.
There's either male or female. And then a few pages later, you say, hey, women be silent in the church. Well, you know, right there, somebody doesn't understand. You know, wait a minute, what do you mean? We just said there's no male and female. And now you're saying, oh, there is. So, you know, there's just.
A couple of weeks ago, we got into the discussion about how faith works, and it's on the website. It's on this was on a Wednesday. We did how faith works. I do not believe that faith is a gift of God. Okay, I believe that when you read Ephesians 2:8 and 9, it is the grace of God is the gift that you get by faith. It's, we have access to this grace of Jesus Christ by faith. Now again, this gets in the idea, it's my faith in Christ in which the faith of Christ saves me. God promised, he said that if you believe this, then you're saved. So it's not my faith that saves me. It's my faith that accesses his faith that does save me. Now,
reconciled the world unto himself, but you don't get that reconciliation until you be reconciled
right.
to God. So that's your response to faith.
Sure. And so again, we also talked in that. Keep in mind that I think it's a mistake to think that you cannot believe without God's help. I think that's a mistake. Because the gospel is a command. It's not just an invitation. And again, we looked at this a couple of weeks. Look up the message or the study we did on Wednesday a few weeks ago about faith. It's very clear from the scriptures. The gospel is a command that the world, go back to Acts 17. God commands everyone to repent and to believe the gospel. If you don't do it, you're condemned. So it's not just simply God saying, I'll give you the gift of faith, and I'll give you the gift of faith. No, he's commanded the world repent. And you can either believe it or not, but if you don't believe it, that's the problem.
But don't even Satan believe. They just don't trust in him.
Well, they certainly know, but again, the offer to Satan and angels, is, they don't have that offer.
Right.
Yeah, so they don't have that.
What I guess I'm trying to say is they have the choice to believe about him. Maybe I'm trying to put it on our level. Maybe I'm mixing that up. But
yeah, just keep in mind that God has realized that man was in a situation that he could not remedy. No one could remedy. He said, I'll fix it. And the only way he could fix it is if somebody paid the penalty of sin. It had to be done. And it's without faith, it's impossible to please God. Doesn't matter who you are from Adam onward, Jew or anybody, without faith, you cannot please God. Therefore, without faith, you cannot access righteousness. I don't care which time it was. I don't care if it was a Jew, and I don't care if it's a Gentile today. You cannot access God's grace without exercising faith. Now,
that's what I'm saying, a choice of will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so what Satan understands, obviously, at this point, is he understands that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died and he paid for the sin. The thing is Jesus didn't pay for his sin. And so the open invitation to us is you can have your sins forgiven if you believe, if you follow the command of God. So let's bring this back around. As you read these different aspects of the armor of God, these are all spiritual in nature. These aren't fleshly in nature. This has to do with things like the truth, like righteousness. Verse 15, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking on the shield of faith that you're able to quench the darts. And you take on the helmet of salvation. If you're going to stand against the wiles of the devil, that's going to help entice you into committing things that are sin, are you going to do that through the following of the law, or are you going to do it through these things like this, is what Paul is talking about. You're going to do it through these things here. And so, again, and that even goes back to what Ballad pointed out earlier, that even the Jews, God is going to have to write the law in their hearts so that they can do it. Why? Because the flesh won't do it. God is going to have to supernaturally empower them to do it. So if the law is weak through my flesh, then the last thing us Christians need to do is try to follow the law in order to please God. You want to please God by exercising faith. Which means that when you, as a person, when you do something wrong, and this kind of goes back to what Kevin is talking about, understanding that's not you. That's been paid for. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Do you believe that by faith? And do you still come to God as that child? I mean, again, one of the things, again, through observation, how many times the Bible uses simple observations in our lives to see things. Even the resurrection that uses agriculture, uses a seed. You know, people that think that, well, the idea of resurrection, something has to die to be made alive. Well, have you ever seen what happens to a seed when you put it in the ground? What happens? It has to die. Well, the same thing here whenever we come, when we think of family life. What little two-year-old feels like they can't approach mom and dad after they did something wrong? Why? Why? Because they understand that parent loves them unconditionally. Do you, saved by grace through faith, as a child of God, understand that Christ died for you? And will you walk by faith instead of by the letter of the law? That's what's going to drive you. That's what grace can do that the law never could do. Because grace understands you've been bought with the precious blood. Kevin?
It's put on all these things you feel like the power of salvation. It's like putting it in your mind. This is, you know, you put it, I got salvation. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's everything is in your mind. And that's where, you know, then you start walking in your mind. I can't really feel it, but I'm sure doctors or somebody that knows stuff, they'll tell you your mind is what tells your arm to move and do this and do everything, you know, all your members of your body, the leg, the arm, like all you did in that example of your body, right? And so it all starts in your mind, you know. Then to actually put on the mind of Christ, almost all.
Well, let's play a little game. Like, I'm going to start a phrase, and you insert the word. Blank is the victory. What is it? Faith is the victory, right? Your ability to conquer that old nature is going to be, faith is the victory, not just for your salvation. Faith is the victory for your daily life. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. We read verse 56, but we didn't read verse 57. Couple of more verses, so we'll go just a couple minutes late. 1 Corinthians 15, so verse 56 said, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is law. Now, then we have that word, but. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Your victory isn't just through salvation. Your victory is also to access that key to your daily life, faith in Christ Jesus. It's not going to be through following the law. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians again. Anytime you got questions about really what Paul thinks about the body of Christ following the law, Galatians is a book to go to because he's all over it there. Oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Were you made perfect by following the law? Is what he says? Of course not. But look here at Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Well, that's pretty interesting. How do you walk in the Spirit? Drop down to verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's one of those things that obviously you live in the Spirit. He's talking about believers. You have the Spirit. If we live in that, then also walk in that. Well, how do you do that? Bingo. Go back to Romans 8. This is what we'll get to next week. How do you do that? Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we'll talk about more about that aspect there. But notice, walk after the Spirit. Well, if you're walking after the Spirit, who's doing the leading? The Spirit is. Not the law. The Spirit is doing the leading. That's how you, as we looked at in Galatians, that's how you overcome the flesh, is by not paying attention to the flesh, kind of like what Kevin was talking about earlier, and we follow the Spirit. Well, that means if we're going to follow the Spirit has to be allowed to do the leading. How are you going to let the Spirit do the leading? Well, also what we were talking about before, through the Word of God, through prayer, through fellowship, and all these things.
Ultimately, isn't that our purpose and how we glorify God in our actions?
Yeah, I don't think that there's any other way. Yeah, because if we're trying to... Well, Paul, what does Paul say? Let him the glory. Let him the glory. Glory in what?
The cross.
That's right. Amen. Why? Why the cross? Well, what did the cross do? That's right. He doesn't say... That's why Paul, if you notice that when he's talking to people, and sometimes he has to remind them about who he is or was, he kind of gets a little bashful. He says, all right, forgive me for glorying in myself here a little bit, you know, because he's having to present, wait a minute, you know, I am the apostle here, and you're kind of acting like I don't know what I'm talking about here. And so he talks about who he is, because Paul's whole chief gain is to make sure that we as people, believers, glory in Christ. And so, yeah, I mean, your point is exactly dead on, that the whole purpose of the believer, the reason why we're still here, is to present Christ to the world. And you're not going to do that if you're trying to follow the flesh and try to follow the law. The only way you're going to do that is if you're following the Spirit.
This is kind of like just a point, but, you know, it's like that song says, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every
way. I like that song too. Let me read you a quote that I wrote. Oh, was you finished? Go ahead.
Oh, no, but it's only because of the cross that made us perfect. It said, be perfect, for God is perfect. You know,
that song is going to be stuck in my head now.
Yeah.
So let me read you really quick a quote by one commentator. And he says, it is not by submitting to outward laws that we grow in holiness and serve God acceptably, but by surrendering to the indwelling Spirit of God. In our new position before God as dead to the law, we are not expected to obey God in our own strength. God has not enslaved us as under a Christian law that we must obey in order to be holy. Rather, He has given us His Holy Spirit, who enables us to fulfill the demands of God's holiness. I hope that you follow and notice the distinctions between that. So, all right, any other comments or questions? Okay, next week, Romans 8, verse 1.